You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
My greatest inner need and yours, whether or not you've ever thought about it, it's peace. Because what can you enjoy if you don't have peace? What can you get out of anything if you don't have peace? You can live in a mansion with satin sheets on your bed, but you can't sleep at night if you don't have peace. You know, you can't give yourself a bigger mansion. No mansion, no amount of money is going to make you happy or give you peace. You can live in a little bitty shack with the peace of God and be happy.
In the hustle and bustle of life, have you ever yearned for a genuine sense of peace that transcends the chaos? Today's message from Pastor Jeff centers around the transformative power of allowing God's grace to infiltrate your heart. Amidst the storms of life, His grace becomes a calming force, bringing a peace that surpasses all understanding. Open your heart to the boundless grace that God freely gives and watch as it permeates every corner of your being, ushering in a peace that is truly incomparable. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 as he begins his message, Growing in Grace.
We're going to start 2 Peter, and this is totally different from 1 Peter. And it's going to be a great, great series, and I'm looking forward to it. How many of you have read ahead? Two of you. All right. We've got some scholars here. All right. I'll read it, and when I want you to jump in, I'll let you know, and you'll jump in. But here it is. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Isn't that great? By which have been given to us, what kind of promises? Exceedingly great and precious. Is that how you see the promises of God? Amen. Exceedingly great and precious. That through these you may be, wow, look at this, partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, he's going to give us seven building blocks. Here they are. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. He's not done. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And the seventh building block, to brotherly kindness, love. Now look at this, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at what he's going to point out here at the end. Here, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, Mr. Magoo, okay? You're short-sighted. That's a level of blindness. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. That's powerful. Amen. Now, a couple of things about this second letter. Peter wrote his first letter because he was moved by the suffering of God's people. So 1 Peter is all about comforting the suffering. He wrote his second letter because he was moved by the seduction of God's people. First letter, the suffering of God's people. This one, the seduction of God's people. Into what? False doctrine. He was moved the first time by what Satan, the old lion, was doing. He was moved the second time by what Satan, the old liar, was doing. When he wrote his first letter, the attack was from without. But when he wrote the second letter, the attack was from within the church. And it was very much more serious because God's people were falling prey to false doctrine. So a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. It was spreading throughout the body. The church could not be destroyed by fierce torments, but it could be destroyed by false teaching. I want y'all to catch that. Okay? Peter's second epistle follows the very same pattern as all of the other second epistles of the New Testament. This is so interesting to me. 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and 2 John all deal with error and apostasy. All of them. And did you know there's only one letter in the entire New Testament, only one letter that does not address false teaching, and that's Philemon. All the other ones, every other letter in the New Testament addresses somewhere in it false teaching. That's powerful. Now, why would that be? Because false teaching, there's nothing new under the sun. It was everywhere back then, encroaching upon the church, threatening the life of the church, and it's everywhere now. Better believe it. In his first letter, Peter had a burden to comfort those believers who were going through the fire. In his second letter, he has a burden to caution those who are playing with the fire. False teaching. His second epistle is full of warning. It really very much resembles Jude. That's why I'm going to go to Jude after this, because 2 Peter and Jude are twins. They're very, very similar. Probably what had fully blossomed when Jude wrote was beginning to blossom when Peter wrote. So false teaching was beginning to infiltrate the church when Peter wrote, and when Jude wrote his epistle, it was full-blown in the church. Peter's second epistle is in three parts. Here they are: faith's convictions, faith's contention, and faith's consummation. The key verse, to my mind, is this one. Beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. 2 Peter 3:17. So if you wanted a key verse for 2 Peter, that's it. Read it again. Beware lest you also, look at your neighbor and say, that's you, fall from your own steadfastness. You lose your footing. Be careful that you don't lose your footing and are led away with the error of the wicked, led away by the error of the false teaching that is everywhere, social media being one of the main propagators of it. Don't let these evil people, easy to read version, don't let these evil people lead you away by the wrong they do. Be careful that you do not fall from your own strong faith. Now, is that warning for us today? Oh, you better know it. You better know it. Peter begins with his own signature. Simon Peter, verse 1, here we go. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, here's a little interesting tidbit for you. The name Simon, you know, Simon Peter, the name Simon is generally associated with Peter's fall. Jesus had said, Simon, Simon. Now, he had already named him Peter, but when he was about to fall, he said, Simon, Simon. All right? Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And Peter went on to deny the Lord on that fateful night before Jesus, or after Jesus' arrest. So the scripture, interestingly, associates Simon with Peter's weak side. But the name Peter is associated with the Apostle Peter, the spiritual rock, the one on the front rank of the apostles prior to Paul. And it's this Simon Peter who writes his second and his last letter to the church. This, we could say, it's his swan song. Just like Paul wrote 2 Timothy and said, I know I'm about to go home. Peter says, I know I'm about to put off this tent. I know I'm about to die. I'm about to go be with Jesus. They both knew ahead of time. Peter addresses himself to his disciple or to his readers, describing the readers, you and me, in three ways. First, he points out their beliefs. They were those who have obtained like precious faith. Have you obtained a like precious faith? We got the same faith in here? Yeah, we've got the same faith. All right. With us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Peter calls it like precious faith, meaning faith of equal value. Your faith isn't better than mine. Mine's not better than yours. We have like, similar, equal faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. The faith of the lowliest Christian is on the same level as the faith of the greatest saint. Please remember that. We're saved by faith, which is the operating principle of the whole Christian life. You're saved by faith. After you're saved, you live by faith. When Jesus comes back, you're taken up by faith. And when we get to heaven, we don't need faith anymore because we're there. But until then, the whole operating principle of the Christian life is faith. We live by faith, not by the sight of our eyes. Then Peter speaks a blessing on them. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace is God's provision for every one of our needs while we live on earth in enemy territory. We are in right now strong enemy territory. Oh my. America and this radio broadcast or this social media may go beyond our country, but I'm going to say here in America, and I can safely say the rest of the world, but here in America right now, we're in a level of evil and wickedness in our culture that 10 years ago I would not have believed if you had shown it to me. We're in enemy territory, and we're seeing some major darkness, and that's why it's so important that churches like ours stay with the blood, with the cross, with the Holy Spirit, with salvation in Jesus only, with the cross of Christ, who bled and died for our sins, that we not deviate from the faith once delivered to the saints. Amen? Because we're a light in this world. So he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So peace is his provision for our greatest inner need. My greatest inner need and yours, whether or not you've ever thought about it, it's peace. Because what can you enjoy if you don't have peace? What can you get out of anything if you don't have peace? You can live in a mansion with satin sheets on your bed, but you can't sleep at night if you don't have peace. You know, you can't give yourself a bigger mansion. No mansion, no amount of money is going to make you happy or give you peace. You can live in a little bitty shack with the peace of God and be happy. Amen. So Peter says, I want grace and peace to be multiplied to you. And he says, here's how it happens. The more you come to know him. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So how does our experience with God increase? Knowledge, but not as any knowledge, knowledge of him, increasing knowledge of Jesus. How many of you can say, I know him better today than I knew him 5 years ago? And guess what? You're going to know him better 5 years from now than you do right now. So look what he says. He says, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That's how grace and peace are multiplied. In the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Now, the word Peter uses for knowledge means precise, ongoing, expanding, further knowledge. Just as we come to know a person more and more as time goes by. It's that simple. How much better do you know your spouse than you did before you were married? And you're going to know them better and better and better. Listen, when it comes to God, you never fully know all there is to know. He's so vast, so high, so massive, so awesome, so majestic, so infinite. You never come to know all there is to know. Amen? Peter informs us of what has been gifted to us. We've been gifted. Look at verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, track with the words now. Okay, life and godliness. What is the gateway? How do I achieve life and godliness? His divine power operating in me. Through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue. There it is again. Through the knowledge of him, through growing in your knowledge of him. See, you come to church here on Wednesday nights and we go through the Bible, you're growing in the knowledge of him. If you haven't grown in the knowledge of him, then find some place that is teaching on a level that you'll grow in the knowledge of him. Because that's why the church is here, to help us all grow together in the knowledge of him. Now notice how life and godliness become ours only through his divine power. So as Christians, we're now to live his life, not our own, for him, not for ourselves, by his power, not by our own strength. See, the positive thinker says, I can do all things. That's positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale, positive thinking. I can do anything I set my mind to. I can do all things. But biblical thinking says, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do it unless Jesus is empowering me. So I come into greater and greater levels of life and peace and godliness through his divine power working in me. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. I am persuaded that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it, will work it out until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. We are on the potter's wheel, and he's the potter. And every day, we are God's divine project. So notice that Peter over and over again connects knowledge to spiritual growth. Specifically, the knowledge of him. So the more we come to know our Lord, the more we will experience, watch this, his glory, the outpouring of his presence, and his virtue, his moral goodness. The more we come to know him, that's why you got to be in the Bible every day. Because every day that we get into the Bible, folks, you come to know a little bit more about God, about Christ, about what he's done for us. And you're building a house. The house is being built. And that's God's house in you. You're the temple. And he's building Jesus in all of us. And how do we get there? One of the key ways is increasing knowledge of him. Amen. The absolute goodness of the Lord has been transferred, imputed to us positionally. Now the indwelling Holy Spirit labors to produce that goodness in us practically. So positionally, who am I in Christ? Where am I in Christ? Positionally. That is, when I say positionally, I mean, how does God see us? How does God see you when he looks at you right now? Well, we know this. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus right now. He sees us already there. Already there. But when he looks at you, how does God look at you and me? Well, with sunglasses, right? The minute you get saved, God puts on sun, S-O-N, glasses. And he sees you through Jesus. He sees you through Jesus. So positionally, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. But how many of you can say, practically, I'm not there yet? Because practically is your daily spiritual growth, your successes and failures, your stumblings, your walking with him, bearing fruit in him, making mistakes along the way, skinning your knee along the way. Just like a baby learns to walk, we learn to walk spiritually. And so positionally, I am perfected in Christ. But practically, he's working out his salvation in me every single day. And I'm growing. I'm not perfect. If I lived to be 500, I would not be perfect position or practically. Are y'all with me with the positional practical? All right? So that's why you can't ever forget who you are positionally, because we tend to, when we make a mistake in our practical Christian life, we tend to let the devil beat our brains out with condemnation. Look at you, child of God. You say you're a child of God. You say you're a born-again Christian. Look at you. You can't this, you can't that. You still this and you still that. And he comes and beats you up. That's when you've got to say, hey, I'm washed in the blood. And positionally, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. The devil doesn't want us to remember about our positional position. Amen? Now, Peter next informs us that God has given incredible promises of this very thing coming to pass. What thing? The practical spiritual growth we're all involved in. How many of you in here are growing spiritually every day? Right? You're growing spiritually every day, right? Okay? We are. We are God's workmanship every day. So how do we cooperate with what God wants to do in our life? Well, he tells us in verse 4, by which we have been given, or has been given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, he's about to tell us something so powerful. He describes God's promises. They are great and they are precious. They are backed up, his promises, by the very integrity of God's character and God himself. There's no other greater I can swear by than myself, says God in Hebrews. I can't swear by a greater than myself. So I give you my promise that according to my character and my goodness and my integrity as Almighty God, these promises can be stood on, counted on, believed for, and experienced. Okay? He says, they're exceedingly great. The word exceeding reveals the dimension, the measure, the degree, the intensity of God's promises. The promises of God are like blank checks, drawn on the bank of heaven, signed by the Lord of glory himself, and given to us so that we can fill in our name, our need, and the now of our present emergencies. Amen? And let me tell you, the bank of heaven does not fail. It does not collapse. There's no run on that bank. Oh my. So how often are we using those blank checks, those promises? Look at every promise like a blank check. And Jesus has signed it. It's good. And says Peter, it is the second half of verse 4, through these, through what? Through the promises, we are partakers of his divine nature. Partakers of his divine nature. How many of you want to be like Jesus? How do we get to be like Jesus? We get to be like Jesus through the promises, by appropriating the promises, by praying for the promises, standing on the promises, enjoying the provision of the promises. That we might be partakers of the divine nature, but it gets better. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, by laying hold of the promises of God, we become more and more like God. By laying hold of the promises. And God's divine nature has been birthed in us by being born again. So we start out with a divine nature, the divine nature born into us. When you're born again, you've got that second nature. It's the divine nature. We call it the new man. Okay? Now we're going to build on that new man. That new man is going to grow in us from a baby into a fully formed adult Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus not only died for us, he also died as us. Are you with me? In Jesus, we already have died to our old life and our old sinful nature, and we are to reckon it so.
Are you weary of not knowing what to believe? Are you searching for answers? Today in his message, Pastor Jeff addressed the crucial importance of discernment in the face of false teachings. When you allow misleading doctrines to infiltrate your faith, it'll only seek to tear you apart. It'll swiftly unravel your connection to Jesus and compromise your witness. Safeguard your faith with everything you have through a commitment to sound biblical principles.
Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Wickwire, host of the Hardwire broadcast, and I'm so excited to tell you about this month's offer for you, our listeners. For a gift of $40 or more, we want to send you the beautiful new Bible put out by Tyndale called Immerse, the Reading Bible. Our offer contains a beautiful Reads Like Butter New Testament featuring the New Living Translation. The Immerse Bible New Testament contains no chapters, no verses, just like the original manuscripts in which the Bible was written, so that it reads more like a story. It also comes with an 8-week reading plan, maps, and a helpful summary of every New Testament book. So if you want to try a really unique approach to your daily Bible reading, just go to hardwire.org and click Donate Now to give your gift of $40 or more. We'll send you the Immerse Bible immediately. And thanks once again for your support of Hardwire. Every dollar we receive will go toward reaching the world with God's Word.
In his next uplifting message, Pastor Jeff encourages you to embrace the joy of having Jesus in your heart. Acknowledge and live in the light of God's exceedingly perfect promise. By carrying the assurance of his promises into each day, experience an enduring joy that surpasses all circumstances. Start each day with a heart filled with the certainty of God's love and hope in his promises. Foster a deep sense of joy permeating every aspect of your life. That's all we have for today's edition of Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. If you'd like a copy of today's message, you can download it from our website, hardwired.org. Be sure to tune in again as Pastor Jeff continues teaching through the book of 2 Peter next time on Hardwired.